I think it's about time to start. Thank you for being part of our study today on marking your Bible when it comes to the subject of prayer. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to two different passages. We'll spend most of our time there to try and help learn some things to improve our prayer lives. And then we'll close out with the example of the best man ever to live. And we'll think about his prayer life and some tips we can learn from the way he did it. So there's a story about a little boy who was in the park, and he was on his knees, and he was saying the following out loud. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And a man walked by, and he said, "Son, what you doing?" The boy said, "I'm saying my prayers." "Saying your prayers? Why the ABCs?" He said, "Mister, nobody ever took me to Bible class. I don't know how to do this. So I just thought if I said my ABCs, God would take the letters that he needed to spell the words that I meant, and he'd understand what I was trying to say anyhow." Now, that was a little boy that believed in the power of prayer. But he struggled to pray. Raise your hand if you believe in the power of prayer. You know, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has much power, literally, avails much. Raise your hand if you struggle with your prayer life, or perhaps you don't pray as often as you ought to pray. You know, we're in good company there. It was the Apostle Paul himself that said in Romans chapter 8, "We know not how or what to pray as we ought." Even the Apostle Paul struggled with his prayer life. And so we're going to look at two passages of Scripture that might be able to help us. Prayer is one of those beautiful things that we can do anytime of any day, regardless of who we are. Did you know if I'm an old man, God will still listen to me when I pray? There's sometimes you get to a certain age and people quit listening to you. Do you know that if I'm a young person, God still listens to me when I pray? There are some environments where people say, you know, children are best seen, not heard. God doesn't feel that way. Did you know that regardless of how successful I become, God is still willing to listen to me, knowing that I need Him? Did you know no matter what mistakes I have made, God is still willing to listen to me say, "I'm sorry," and ask Him to forgive me? So prayer is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I'm going to ask you, first of all, to turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 5. Now, as you're turning, the book of Psalms is it's a book of songs. There's a translation called the Septuagint. Some of us that are older might have heard of that word before, and some of us that are deep students as younger may have as well. It's actually a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew and Aramaic into New Testament Koine Greek. So the Septuagint is a translation into the Greek language of the Old Testament original languages. The Septuagint calls the book of Psalms by a word that means poems to sing. The Hebrew word is songs of praise. So if you would, at the top of your notepad, if you wish, the book of Psalms falls into one of three headings. There are Psalms that talk about problems. There are Psalms that are praying to God about problems. And there are psalms that praise God for answering prayers about problems. So those three words, problems, prayer, praise, pretty much sums up the book of Psalms. Sometimes you'll read a psalm and has all three of those. So when we want to talk about improving our prayer life, the book of Psalms is a great place to go, because it is a book of psalms, or rather prayers, that have been inspired by God for various men to write down and express. I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, it is in what's called the superscription, that those words above verse 1, they're not inspired, but they're very, very old. They're about 200 years older than when Jesus was born. So they're very old, and they're given a great deal of attention as a result of their being old. And this one in the superscription actually says David is the one responsible for writing by inspiration Psalm 5. Now, as we turn to Psalm 5, we're going to use this psalm to help us talk about how to pray. How to pray. And I don't know how you want to do this. If you want to take notes on a notepad, if you have your iOS device and you're typing it on an iPad or on your phone, or if you just like to put notes in your Bible. If you like to put notes in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to put a word by various verses, and then we'll watch that word unfold. And when we get through, we'll step back and we will see how Psalm 5 can help us in our prayer life. It teaches us how to pray. So you ready? In the margin of verse 1, write the word what. That's the first question. What? So when we pray, what are we asking God to actually do? Sometimes I fear that we relegate prayer to it's just a formal part of worship. Or it's something we do before we go to bed. Did you say your prayers? Or now for our opening prayer, our closing prayer, our prayer before the Lord's Supper. And prayer can become so absolutely formal. And as a result, we hear the same phrases and the same words. And when I begin to pray, my prayer sounds just like so-and-so's prayer, because prayer is just a formal thing that we know. No. Prayer is you talking to God, and we're going to see more of that in our second verse of interest. Today we begin with Psalm 5, and we write the word what in the margin of verse 1 because we want to ask, what are we asking God to do when we get on our knees or close our eyes or just think a prayer? Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry. What are we asking God to do when we pray? Watch this. There are three answers to that question in this reading. Answer number one, give ear to my words. Actually, the word that is translated means give yourself to listening to my words. When we pray, what are we asking God to do? We're asking God, listen to me. Hold your place. Turn with me to Psalm 86 and read with me verse 1 and verse 6 to flesh that thought out a minute. In Psalm 86 verse 1 we read, incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Incline your ear to me, O Lord. Incline your ear translates a Hebrew word that might be illustrated as stretching out, bending over. So watch this. Stretching out, bending over. Incline your ear. Now verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea. Give ear. Incline your ear, verse 1. Give ear, verse 6. And the Hebrew word for give ear is a word that means give special attention to. So what we're asking God to do when we pray is this. Lean over, stretch out, and give special attention through your ear to what I'm saying. Bend over, stretch out, and give special attention with your ear to what I'm saying. We're asking God to listen. Now think about that. We're talking about the one that literally spoke a universe into existence. We're talking about the one who makes certain that every day the sun rises and shines, that every evening the tide comes in and ultimately leaves. We're talking about the one who literally is the comptroller, the controller of the entire universe. And when we pray, what are we asking God to do? We're saying, in essence, stop everything that you're doing. Dear God, stop everything that you're doing and help me. You know what's fantastic about this? God is willing to do just that for you. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, God's willing to do that. Here's the second answer to our first question. What are we asking God to do when we pray? We're asking God to give Himself to listening to us. Then verse 1 goes on, consider my groanings. The Hebrew word for consider there is perceive, discern. God, I want you to think about what I'm going through. It says, consider, discern, perceive my groaning. God, I want you to understand how I'm feeling about this. First we say, God, I want you to stop everything that you're doing and please help me. And now, God, I want you to put yourself into my shoes and feel what I'm feeling. If you'll hold your place at Psalm 5, we could go all the way to the New Testament and see that's exactly what happens because of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read that we have not a high priest that can't be touched or sympathize with our infirmities, our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And as a result of that, verse 18, because he himself has suffered being tempted, that's chapter 2, verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We have with Jesus, sitting right next to God, someone who understands. He sympathizes with us and everything that we've gone through. And as a result of him sitting right next to God, and understanding how we feel, we can talk to God and expect God to provide us the grace of His help in time of need. What are we asking God to do when we pray? God, stop everything that you're doing and please help me. God, please put yourself in my shoes. Please understand what I'm going through and how I feel. Here's the third answer to our first question. Verse 2 says, give attention to the sound of my cry. And the word means literally that, to pay attention. I know you have a lot to do. I know you have a lot of people that are talking to you. You have many that are making requests of you. But God, please stop everything that you're doing. Please feel what I feel and sense what I'm going through. And please, God, give attention to the affairs of my life at this moment. If you hold your finger at Psalm 5, we find the same thought in Psalm 13, verses 1 to 3. David said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Have you ever felt that way? God's at a distance. God's not really that concerned about me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. That's how David felt. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Where are you? How long must I take counsel in my soul, talk to myself, and have sorrow in my heart all the day, have a self-pity party? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now listen to verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Literally, consider, look at me, and answer me, listen to me. With the greatest amount of respect, that's what we're asking God to do. Please stop everything that you're doing. Please put yourself in my shoes. And please, Father, look at me. Listen to me. Give attention to what I'm going through. And He's willing to do just that. Is that not incredible? Now, by the margin of verse 2, write a second word. Whom? That's our second question. Our first question outside of verse 1, what? What are we asking God to do when we pray? Now outside the margin of verse 2, whom? To whom are we praying when we pray? And there are three answers to that question right here in the psalm. Verse 2 and 3. Give attention to the sound of my cry. My King and my God, for to you I pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. There are three answers to the question, to whom do we pray? Answer number one, we pray to our King. That is a word that speaks to God's royalty. And that means that God has the authority to do anything He chooses to do in response to our prayers. He is our King. If we were to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. He is the King of ages. Immortal, invisible, the only God, to whom belongs honor and glory forever and ever. The King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, deserving of honor and glory forever and ever. Anything you ask God to do, He has the authority to do it. He doesn't have to ask anybody. You're going to have to ask your mom and daddy to borrow the keys to go out on a date. You're going to have to ask your mom and your daddy if your daddy probably, if he will let you go out with this boy on a date. You're going to have to ask the girl if she will give you permission to kiss her. But don't you tell your mom and your daddy about it, or you'll not get the keys anymore. Amen? And you need to wait until you're 35 before that even happens. I just lost you, didn't I? You're going to have to ask permission. You're going to have to get authority to do a lot in life. God doesn't have to ask anybody for anything that He chooses to do, responding to your request. He's your king with the royalty and the authority that goes with His majesty. Here's the second answer to our second question. My King and my God. God is God. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, the word God translates one of two words. Sometimes it translates the singular word El, E-L. Sometimes it translates what's called the majestic plural Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim. And that majestic plural is just, they would take a single word and make it a plural word to just in a majestic, emphatic way pay homage. So sometimes you'll have one or the other words for God. But both of them speak to His deity. God has the power to do anything He chooses as God in responding to your prayer. And God has seen anything that you are going through before and knows exactly what is best to do in response to your prayer. Now we're going to pause for a moment. And I want all eyes right here. Up to this point, we've been taking our attention upward. And we've been thinking about God. What we're asking Him to do when we pray. The one to whom we pray. Right there, and I want you to get this. Right there is why your prayer is so powerful. It is not you. No matter how good or how bad you may have chosen to be. It is not you, no matter how many Bible verses you can memorize and quote at Lads to Leaders Convention. It's not you. Your prayers are powerful because God is the one to whom you pray, and you're asking Him to give His attention to you. Now in Psalm 5, there is a third question. Outside the margin of verse 3, write the word when. When should we pray? We're going to have to fudge on this one. There are three answers to the question, but only one of the three is found in Psalm 5. Can you find it? Look at verse 3 and raise your hand when you find when we're supposed to pray in Psalm 5. Raise your hand if you find it. All right, good. We're to pray in the morning, right? Oh Lord, the one who is because He is, in the morning you hear my voice. In Jesus' day, Jews had three times for prayer. Today, I remember one day years ago, my wife and I were traveling and we stopped at a roadside park and we saw a family of Muslims, and they had gotten under a pavilion and put out their prayer cloth and turned in a certain direction, and they began to go through their prayers. A Muslim would pray five times a day. An Orthodox Jew in Jesus' day prayed three times a day. They prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 12 o'clock noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's why in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, you have Peter and John going to the temple to pray, and it was the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. The ninth hour on the Jewish day would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, these apostles are going to the temple for the very purpose of, it's time to pray. Psalm 5 says, pray in the morning. Now, if we were to leave Psalm 5 and look at two other psalms, look at Psalm 86, verse 3. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day, all day long. You have the opportunity to talk to God all day long. If it's 10 o'clock in the morning and you have just been given that Algebra 2 test and you want to pray to God, help me make this test, and you hear a word in response from heaven, sorry, days of miracles are over, son. That's not going to happen. I just kind of threw that out there. But you can pray at 10 o'clock in the morning. On your way to school, on your way to work, you can think a prayer to God. I'd recommend you keep your eyes open on that one if you're behind the wheel. If you're on your way home from a hard day's practice, you didn't do well on the court or you didn't do well on the field, you want to talk to God about it. He's interested. Talk to Him about it. You have some of those mean girls paying attention to you and putting you in their crosshairs, talk to the Lord about that all through the day. You have a boy that's ghosted you, talk to the Lord about that all through the day. You have a girl that you wish you could get her number, you talk to the Lord about that all through the day. You have the right to talk to God about anything. You can do it any time through the day. In the morning, all the day. Here's a third psalm. Turn to Psalm 6 and read verse 6. I am weary with my groaning every night. Night, I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because I grieve, because of grief. It grows weak because of my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. He's making pleas. He's praying, and He's doing it at night. Pray in the morning. Pray all through the day. Pray at night. There is never a time in your life, and there is never anything you go through but that God is willing to give you His attention. Before we shift to a second passage, I just want to pause and say, this is the way that we pray. We talk to God about our feelings. We see that in verse 1. Consider my groaning. Verse 2. The sound of my cry. To you I pray. Hear my voice. Verse 3. So when you pray, you can tell God how you feel. Are you happy? Let Him know. Are you sad? Let Him know. You have strong wishes, let Him know. Disappointed, talk to Him about it. Share your feelings with God. That's prayer. Second, how do we pray? The way we pray, remember how God feels. Verse 4. You are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. Remember, God has feelings too. When you pray, it's not the big boss in the sky. When you pray, it's not, hey, big daddy. When you pray, you're talking to one who deserves nothing, nothing shy of your respect and reverence. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. His name is, just his name is separate from everyone else's. So you consider how he feels when you talk to him. Verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 5. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, God's feelings, will enter your house. I will bow down towards your holy temple. Bow down, reverence, in the fear, respect of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. So remember, you can talk to God about your feelings, but don't forget to remember God's feelings as well when you pray. Psalm 5, when David prayed, can tell us, help us learn how to pray. What we ask God when we pray, what we're asking God to do, the one to whom we are praying, when we pray. Now let's turn to a second passage, this time in the New Testament. Turn with me in your New Testaments to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1. This is going to tell us what to pray. What are we supposed to do when we pray? I have a passion about this. I'm 72 years old and I've gone to church all my life and I hear the same words over and over and over and over at times that I heard when I was 15 years old. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is that all there is? Let me see now. I love Brother so-and-so and this is the way he does it and this is the way I'm going to do it. Is that the way you're going to express your feelings to God? You talk to God. And as you talk to God, I'm following your thoughts and you're helping me talk to God. And I don't have an interest one in what somebody 25 years ago said as his bywords whenever he was praying. Help the sick and the afflicted and for those for whomsoever it is our duty to pray. Well, who in the world are the sick? What afflicted do you have in mind? Are we thinking about the same persons? And who is it our duty to pray? Everybody? We don't have that much time to pray when it comes time for worship. I don't know, sometimes the guys can pray some long prayers. So this is what we do when we pray. There are four different kinds of prayer. We can pray just one of them. We can pray two of them. Our prayer can have all four of the elements. Verse 1 of 1 Timothy 2. First of all, by the way, the word first there is protos. If you go back to the previous paragraph, Paul says, of the sinners, I am chief. Or of the sinners, I am foremost. Or of the sinners, I am first, depending on what translation you use. Protos. It's the same word in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. So Paul begins this passage writing to his young protege Timothy, and he says, foremost, now the chief thought of all thoughts. First of all, Timothy, I want you to keep this in mind. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. First of all, there are prayers that are supplications. We don't talk that way, do we? You ever heard somebody in morning worship kind of go through, okay, Brother Sam's going to lead our singing today. Brother George is going to deliver the lesson of the hour. And at the appropriate time, we're going to have Brother Harry, and he's going to get up and he's going to supplicate for us. You ever heard anybody say, we're going to supplicate for a while? Somebody gets up to the microphone, let us supplicate. We don't talk that way, do we? The word that is translated in this passage, supplication, is deesses, and it literally means beggings. Sometimes when we pray, we are begging God for His attention and help. I give you Jesus for an example. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of His flesh, He offered up prayers and supplications. There the word prayers is deesses. He offered up beggings to Him who was able to save him. He did so with many tears. So Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, supplicated. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was begging God, let this cup pass from me. Beggings. Boy, there's going to be times in your life when life is so hard, when the burdens are so heavy, there's nowhere else to go, no one else to whom you can turn, nothing else you know to do. But there's always one that wants to hear your beggings. So sometimes we beg God when we pray, and He listens. Supplications, prayers. Prayers, prosuke. That word is a word that means the inferior speaking to the superior. And in this arena, it's the idea of our just talking to God. That's what prayer is. It's just you're talking to God. That's why I remember years ago, I went to a lectureship where my dad was preaching. My brother and I were preachers, and we went with him, and they asked me to lead the first prayer, and my brother to lead the second prayer as my dad preached. So I got up and I preached. And I prayed, I mean. My dad had preached, and my brother led the closing prayer. I stepped off the stage, and there was this mammoth of a man. I mean, he was a walking mountain. And he stuck out his hand, and I put my hand in his, like it's like shaking hands with a baseball mitt. He said, I like you. Well, I wasn't going to argue with this guy. I said, well, thank you, sir. He said, you're a thee and thou man. He said that because in my prayer back then, sometimes I would say thee and thou, and sometimes I'd say you. Apparently, on that occasion, I had said thee and thou. I have heard men espouse the idea of using archaic pronouns, thee and thou. We should, because it shows more respect for God. In whose mind? If it's in your mind, then use them. But that's not in my mind. So don't think me less than you if I choose not to use them. And I say that to illustrate this point. Prayer is not a formal exercise done a specific way in keeping with the way He wants me to do it or with the way He has done it. It is you talking to God in ways the Bible teaches. And the Bible doesn't teach use archaic pronouns. Paul never used them. You say, I can turn and see Paul using thee and thou if you use the King James Version, but he didn't write that. He wrote it in Koine Greek. And he wrote a word that means you, not thee and thou. So remember that prayer is just talking to God. You're begging God, talking to Him. I think of Jesus again as an example in Matthew 27, 46. My God, why? He's talking to God about his feelings. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. The word translated means fall in line with. And it's the idea of talking to God, begging God in behalf of someone else. And Jesus is another example of that as well, where he ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7, 25. Then the word thanksgivings, eucharistia. Eucharistia comes from the word charis or charin, grace. Eu is the word for well, grace well. The word translated thanksgiving means to grace well. It's this idea of praising God, thanking God for things going on in your life. So I would suggest that you could, through the day, pray a prayer. And in this prayer, it's nothing but begging God for something. You don't thank Him for anything. You don't talk to Him about anybody else. You're begging God for something or some things. Then sometime during the day, take pause. And in this particular prayer, you're just talking to God. It's a beautiful day, Lord. Thank you so much for giving me this day. And man, I had a great day at school, a great day at practice. It's just one of those days I'm going to mark on my calendar. Do it again, do it again. Thank you, Lord. I'm just so grateful to have this. Just talk to Him. Sometime during the day, have a prayer, and that prayer is you're talking to God about someone or someones in your life. And you're not praying for yourself at all, but you're praying for other people that need God's attention, and you're wanting to help them. And then sometime in the day, pray a prayer. And in this prayer, you're doing nothing but praising God. You'll find that one probably a little awkward because we don't do that as much, where we praise God and thank God all the time, and that's all we do in prayer. Sometimes you may have a prayer that has all four of those elements. But I think you can see what we do when we pray and how we can bring it into our lives. Last of all, I want to think about Jesus, and this can be done very quickly. And I want you to think about the three prayers that Jesus prayed from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Here are some just practical suggestions from the way Jesus prayed at Calvary. Suggestion number one, pray short prayers. Of those three prayers, the first one in translation, in the English Standard Version, 10 words. The second one, 9 words. The last one, 8 words. That's all. All combined, you only have 26 words in three different prayers. Pray short prayers. Number two, pray sentence prayers. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to start your prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus prayed, and he didn't start his prayers that way all the time. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to end your prayer in Jesus' name, amen. I always do, just because that's what I've always done. Pray a sentence prayer. When I was 26 years old, I was on my way home from a speaking engagement, and some boys lost control on a wet highway, and they hit me head on. Two boys in their car were killed immediately. I was in and out of the hospital for months, a year before I ever felt halfway normal. Before that collision, I prayed a prayer. I prayed two words, save me. You think God heard that prayer? I didn't say, my Father which art in heaven. I didn't have time. Nor did I say, in Jesus' name, amen. I prayed a short prayer. Number three, pray scripture prayers. Two of these three prayers that Jesus prayed were citation of scriptures. Find verses in the Psalms that express your feelings and turn to that passage. Use those words to express your feelings as a prayer to God. Just some tips from the way Jesus prayed at Calvary. But leave knowing this, God is interested in you, in your life, in everything that you're going through, and He's willing to listen and, if you believe it, and if you practice it, get ready. You're going to set providence in motion. Get ready to be amazed at what God does. Okay? Thank you for your attention and for putting all those notes in your Bible or on your scratch pad. We'll see you later.